may be celebrating so it comes easily, those words come out easily. Thank you, Lord. You may be in a difficult situation and it's difficult to say thank you, right? But in the midst of it all, we know that He is for us and He is with us and He is working all things for our good. Good morning, church. Good morning. Welcome to our 10:30 service. I am super excited, super honored, and it's a pleasure for me to share the word with you this morning. It's always an honor to be able to share the word. As you're standing, let's open our Bibles to Psalms. Open our apps to the book of Psalms. I'll give you a couple of seconds to get there. This is a passage that may be very familiar to some, depending on your background in the church, right? We'll be reading the first three verses, but our landing verse, our focus verse, will be verse 3. Okay. Psalms chapter 1. Sorry. Psalms chapter 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. And all that he does, he prospers. We thank you, Lord, for this time. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We pray, my God, that as we spend the next few minutes looking at these verses, that our hearts would be fertile ground for them to grow and mature, my God. That your Holy Spirit would shine a light in our hearts in the areas, God. Will you continue to work and transform us by your will, for your glory and honor, my God. I thank you, God, for your love and for your faithfulness in these times. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We're familiar with the book of Psalms in that it is the largest book in the Bible. Through multiple authors, we have 150 chapters, which are arranged and divided into 5 books. It's a little overview of Psalms. Some scholars point out that the beginning of the book leans heavily into human lament. We see and we feel deep sorrow and pain with little sprinkles of praise in the first half of the book. These raw emotions are in response to the cruelty of this world, human relations, sin, which leads to pain, confusion, and anger. The book then slowly leans over the other way, over to praise, now heavy on the joy, celebration, elation, and elation as the later chapters shine on the promise of the future Messiah. This is in the book of Psalms. The focus, once it shifts over to praise, the focus is no longer inward and on the here and the pain and the confusion and all of the emotions that we go through experiencing this world. It changes now. The focus is now outward and up, right? We're no longer concerned with inward emotions, innermost turmoil, but we are focused on the outside, outward and up towards God. Chapter 1 sits a little outside of this pattern. It acts as an introduction to the rest of the Psalms. Titled The Way of the Righteous and the Wicked, this psalm is known as a psalm of wisdom. The Psalms were known as a prayer book for the people of God, through it expressing deep emotions, but also hoping and waiting for a better future with God. But there is this waiting, this in-between of the now, of what's happening now, and the good that is to come, right? There's this life to be lived, right? There's this space where we do our living. In that space, the people of God were in need of wisdom. Wisdom of how to live, of what choices to make, when facing decisions, right? Which way to go? As we know, every choice, every decision we make can alter our path ever so slightly. The decisions the people of Israel made would lead them on a journey of closeness with God as righteous, leading to a blessed life. Or their decisions, the choices they made, would lead them on a journey separated from God as unrighteous. We too choose how to live our lives. We too choose what journey to take. We are either close to God or we are departed from God. Both the people of Israel then and his sons and daughters today in the now see a difference in their lives because of what we choose, the decisions that we make. As believers, we are made righteous through our faith in Jesus Christ. Romans 3:22 tells us this righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. If we look at verse 3, where we're going to be focusing, it says, it starts with, he is like a tree, right? That he being referred to at the beginning of the verse is the righteous person. This righteous person is the resulting product of verses 1 and 2. This righteous person has not walked in the counsel of wicked. He hasn't stood in the way of sinners, and he doesn't sit in the seat of scoffers or mockers, right? There's a lot to unpack there, but it's important that we understand this. The life of a righteous person, of a person who has placed their faith in Christ, will be incredibly different than that of a person who lives their life by their own standards and or the standards of the world that surrounds us. This is only by and through the grace of God, faith in Christ, and power of the Holy Spirit. We need to have that at the forefront. We need to have that in mind and remember that to understand that to be righteous is not something that we get to do on our own. It's not something we do on our own. We can't create righteousness and we can't earn righteousness. It is imputed to us and then everything flows from that, right? We receive the righteousness of God and that informs It shows, we model through the righteousness of God. What we do, how we act, what we say, everything is now, should be, in accordance with the righteousness that is imputed to us from God. So the he that did not walk in the way of the wicked, stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, did not do those things out of his own accord or will, his power, his strength, his determination, anything that he could have decided did not come from him, rather by God. By delighting in the law or instruction of the Lord and meditating on it day and night, he is then a resulting righteous person. As those who have been made righteous, choosing a journey with God through Christ, there are three things I believe we can take away as our blessing from our landing verse. The theme of today's message is the blessing of the righteous, right? So there's three things I believe we can take away from verse 3. It reads, he is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. I think I read that correct, yes. And know that he does, he prospers. Based on these verses, or based on these words, right, there are three things we're going to take away this morning. First, we are blessed because we are like a tree planted with purpose. Second, we are blessed because we have a never-ending source for our lives. And third, we are blessed because we are maintained to prosper. We are like a tree planted with purpose, right? Trees are referenced a lot in Scripture. If you remember, there's lots of trees. People are climbing up them. People are carrying them, being carried. There's just lots of trees being referenced in Scripture, right? I read, as I was preparing for this, that aside from God and people, they, as in the trees, are mentioned more than any other living thing in Scripture, okay? For many things, but among them, they are representative of life. When we see a healthy tree, we know that it is growing. We know that it's maturing. It is stable and rooted well. It flourishes and produces. In this verse, it's important to know that in its original, the word for planted really means to transplant. Now, I don't know much about horticulture, but I understand that by transplanting, a plant is deliberately removed from its natural environment and placed in a different one, right? There is intention in severing its roots, removing it from where it was originally, and bringing it to a new location that will be favorable for its growth and flourishing. While we, right, may have started off as wild trees growing in the wild, exposed to elements not favorable to our growth, dead in our trespasses, separated from God, the righteous are no longer trees growing in the wild. We are trees who have been removed from our original environment, our original state of sinfulness, of brokenness, of nothingness, right? And planted, transplanted for our growth with the purpose of flourishing. Lives that in our flourishing produce fruit in the right season. This is important, right? Keeping in mind the idea of the right season. As I was preparing this, I felt heaviness on the subject or topic of seasons, right? I think that, you know, we can all say that the year 2020 has been a very interesting season for all of us, right? We already had our seasons going, right? And then 2020 happens. And it brought up a whole other, you know, array of ups and downs within this season, right? The verse says that the tree yields its fruit in its season, right? This tells us two things. First, this tree will bear fruit. It's established. The tree is going to bear fruit. Second, there is a designated time for it to bear the fruit, right? It's going to bear it, but there's a time for that to happen. Beyond what's happened to us right in 2020, I believe that some of us may be bearing very good fruit right now, right? Healthy fruit, and we celebrate with you, right? We celebrate you in your season. While some of us may be waiting what seems to be an eternity, right, to bear some of this good fruit that we've been promised. Hear me when I say that both the bearing and the waiting are seasons determined by God. I'm going to say that again. Both the bearing of the fruit and the waiting for the fruit to come are determined by God. They're seasons determined by God. One is not a reward and the other a punishment. Your waiting season is not a punishment. They are simply a part of God's good plan for our lives. A tree doesn't stop being a tree. A tree doesn't stop living, right? While it's waiting to bear its fruit. A tree is still a tree while it's waiting, right? While it's in this kind of, what we would think is a dormant season. During the time when we believe nothing is happening because we don't see it, we may see the trunk and the leaves and the branches. We may not even see leaves. We may just see branches, right? We don't see any fruit on that tree. We may think absolutely nothing is happening. In reality, during this time, right, the tree is deepening its roots. It's being nourished. So should a righteous in a season of waiting also do. This is the time to delight in the Lord, to meditate on his word day and night, so when it's the right time, we also can bear good fruit. This fruit, not just for our benefit, right, but for the benefit of others as well. This season of waiting, this is a season of trusting. Charles Spurgeon said, God is too wise to be mistaken, too good to be unkind, and when you can't trace his hand, you can always trust his heart. In seasons of waiting, I believe we can trust his wisdom, I believe we can trust his kindness, and I believe that we can trust his purpose for our lives. In seasons of waiting, we must resist our desires to take matters into our own hands, to just figure things out on our own because God's taking too long, because we don't see progress, because we don't see fruit, because we were promised this so long ago, because we've been praying and waiting and begging and nothing is happening. We have to resist that urge, that desire to simply fix it. John 15, verse 4 and 5. In these verses, Jesus reminds us, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. This leads me to our second blessing. We have a never-ending source of nourishment, right? The verse says, the tree is planted by streams of water. As trees need a source of nourishment, so do we. When we are planted, we are not planted just anywhere. We've been planted in Christ by God. Planted by streams that nourish us through his spirit, through his grace, by his mercy, with his love, with forgiveness, promise, and communion. All we need to live flourishing lives. First, the first book of Peter chapter 1 verse 3 tells us, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. We simply cannot exhaust God as a resource. There's no way of exhausting him. He is all powerful, all knowing, and all giving to us who call unto him. There's no end to him, and therefore there's no end to the resources for us. Like a good father, he is for us, gives us what we need when we need it. What a blessing that is. It's a great, great blessing to have this in mind. We run into trouble when we seek other things as a source of nourishment for our lives. Today, it's super easy to do that, right? On a superficial level, we can simply turn on the TV, do a little scrolling through social media and find sources to nourish ourselves, to nourish our minds, our spirit. There are other things also a little deeper, a little more profound that we can run to and go to for nourishment. These are relationships, right? Family and spouses, children, friends, good things, right? Good gifts from God, but not the source of our nourishment. We look to status, we look to careers and money and position as a source of nourishment, as the source of building ourselves up, as a source of sustaining ourselves. Again, a job is a good gift. We need money, right? These are all good things, but should not be the source of our nourishment. Some people have even turned, especially in this climate, right, to politics as a source of nourishment, right? We identify more with earthly thoughts or earthly ideologies rather than looking to God and His Word for our source of nourishment. Worst of all, we oftentimes turn to ourselves as a source of nourishment. We look to our thoughts, we look to our emotions, we let our pride govern how we're thinking, what we're thinking, what we're doing, and how we're doing it. A dangerous area to be for a righteous person. We must look to God as our source of nourishment through His Spirit, through His Word, through prayer. While many or any of the things I just mentioned can be temporary, they can be exhausted, God has always been and always will be. There is no end to Him. Therefore, there is no end to His resource. There is no end to anything that He can provide to us, His children. This brings me to my final blessing, our final blessing. As the trees planted with purpose by the streams of water for nourishment, our leaves do not wither, and in all we do, we prosper. This third blessing says that we are maintained to prosper. Storms and seasons of drought are just inevitable in our lives, right? In the lives of the believer. They're also inevitable in nature, right? There are storms that rage on. There are strong storms in our spirits, in our minds, in our world, right? These winds can rock the very core of who we are as people, as believers. Droughts, when there's time of drought, they can literally dry us up, right, of anything that we could have been vested in or any source of nourishment that we could have had. Some storms we see coming at a distance, right? We can hear the thunder coming. We can see the lightning. And we can prepare ourselves. We can deepen ourselves in Christ a little bit and say, all right, I see it coming, but I know you're with me. But there are some storms that just come out of nowhere to us. God in His sovereignty has seen all things. But to us, these storms come out of nowhere, and we're left there standing, grasping for something, figuring out, where did this come from and what do I do now? The droughts leave us needy and weak, depleting us, leaving us with a desire for relief in one way or another. It causes a desperation within us that unless we're rooted, unless we're grounded, we're going to be grasping for whatever is going to soothe us, is going to take away that pain, as momentary and as temporary and as horrible as we think that is. Right now it feels good, so I am going to do it. I'm going to get this temporary relief from this suffering when I do this one thing that I know is not going to be permanent. But we have a promise. We have a promise here that is in Christ, that no matter the storm, the drought, the circumstance, the bad news, the gut-wrenching news, the loss or pain, those who are called righteous will not wither. In the end, we will prosper. Jeremiah 17, verses 7 and 8 mirror a little bit of the verses here in Psalm 1. But I want to share them because it reads a little differently, right? These verses, they say, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. We can hold on to the promise that while in Christ, we will be sustained and we will thrive. It may not be comfortable. It may hurt. It may make us question, right? But we're mere humans, right? Who feel and are affected, right? But if at our core we're trusting the Lord and trusting his promises, he will sustain us and we will thrive even in the midst of the storm, in the midst of the drought, because he is that sustaining nourishment for us. We can hold on to Philippians 1:6, where Paul says that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. And later in the first book of Corinthians, chapter 1, verse 8, where it says, he will sustain you to the end so that you will be blameless on the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. We've been talking about the blessing of the righteous, how we are like trees planted by streams of water, yielding our fruit in our season, and how our leaves do not wither, and all that we do prospers. There's a very good possibility that there are some of us who can identify with these words, right? We're in it, we're flourishing, we're thriving, and we celebrate with you. Right? We get to celebrate all the Lord is doing in your life and your seeing of the fruit. But I'm also certain that there are some of us who cannot identify with these words, right? We're in a barren place. We're in a waiting place. We're waiting. That's okay too. It's okay because while we're on this side of eternity, we get to choose to journey with God. We get to choose to follow him. We get to choose him over anything else in our lives. And we get to see him work in our lives for our betterment and his glory. Let us ask God for the strength to choose the path that resists the counsel of the wicked, strength to not stand in the way of sinners, and strength to not sit with scoffers, mocking who God is and all he can do in our lives. In the end, it is worth it to abide in Christ, to live to him and for him until we are with him. Amen. Let us close our eyes. We thank you, Lord, for this time. And we thank you, Lord, because we, God, the righteous, God, are trees planted by your stream, my God. We, my God, are with you. You nourish us. You're in our seasons. Even in the seasons that seem or appear that nothing is happening, you are with us, God. We thank you because you are God. And because you, my God, are with us. And in the end, my God, you will see us through to prosper through your name.
Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Father. Hallelujah. We thank you for the word that you planted in us this morning. We worship you, Jesus.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.